K-Mobile.
K4VWA, W4DJW.
How are we doing, boss?
You are going to love that antenna. I took it out of the box today. There's only three pieces in the box. You just loosen the elements, rotate them 90 degrees, slide them to the center, and tighten them down on two of the pieces. And the third piece is the driver. You just bolt it to the side, and it's done. That's it. Even, well, I won't get political on you, but even one of those could put one of these together.
Okay. So it goes together, what, 15 minutes?
Okay, so my SDR program, well, the dongle was on, and it was saying what you were saying about 4 milliseconds behind what you were saying, so I missed it. I muted the speaker. Say that again.
Early time, about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's if you take your time and you just make sure every element is perfectly centered and before you tighten down the wing nut. But all of the elements are in place. They already go through their plastic container. They've already got their wing, their through screw in with the wing nut on the back of it. You just loosen the wing nut so that you can rotate at 90 degrees, and then you tighten the wing nuts down after you center the element in the plastic container. And you do that on both halves, and then you just put the halves together. And it's just got one screw that goes through both halves to hold them together. It's got some heavy-duty alignment metal in between the two sections of the boom. And you just slide those together, and then you put the one screw through there, and then you have one screw that holds on the driven element. And that's it. You're done.
I don't care what anybody says. Diamond puts out a good quality product.
So mine is, I've got one of those really long paint extenders that extends about 20 feet. And I've got the umbrella out of the table on the back deck. And I got that paint extender stuck down in the umbrella hole. And I've got that 10-element beam on top of that. And it's pointed at a vector that's a little less than 190 degrees, about 170 degrees. Where are you?
I am passing under Highway 14 on Interstate 85 right now, headed north.
Under 14 on 85. I got to see what kind of vector that is to see which direction I need to point it to see your input.
Probably, more than likely, just barely south of due east.
Okay, that's going to be parallel to the house. Let me run outside and rotate it east. Let's see, 85 east, 85, 14. I'm looking for 14, where 14 and 85 intersect. I'm hunting for it.
Southeast, but I'm headed north pretty fast, so scramble, brother.
Okay, I'm just going to go point it east, and I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
Bay Tango Mobile. What you up to now, Steve? What kind of trouble are you getting into today? You must have just popped on. I'm on here with Dave, and we're doing a little experiment with a Yagi. Back in the car, I've been in. Had to go to Wally World, pick up some dog food and some copy paper and things I can get a whole lot cheaper there than elsewhere. And I got a phone call. JW, would you like for me to throw a carrier for an extended period of time? Right now, Steve. A bit of experimentation with a Yagi for 2 meter there, Rusty. Well, that's good. I just called the wire man and ordered 280 feet of copper-clad steel wire to go up at my house next week. Yesterday. And I will be making a trip up to his store tomorrow to pick it up. So, are you back, Dave?
Yeah, and I was watching you for you and Rusty. I didn't see a thing. But I am behind a wall of dirt to that side. I have an opening to the repeater, which is northwest of me. I can see out the northwest opening, but all the other sides, I'm like down in a dish bowl. So, nothing. I didn't see anything.
Okay, now let me ask you something. You've got a mountaintop between us. Is there an angle as I head east to where you can pop in on 85?
It's all dirt. It's like I live on the side of a mountain that kind of wraps around me a little bit. You know what I mean? So not really. I mean, I could pop a multi-rotor up 400 feet and I could see it easy, really easy. but I don't have a 2 meter receiver and a multirotor that will crossband down to 70 centimeters down to the house. I was looking for one of those on the internet. I got to find one of those and just put it in a multirotor that'll hang up there for like 3 hours and be done with it.
PCI W2T. Dave, so in my imagination, I am seeing you being able to see approximately from due north, you're going to be able to see about 120 degrees, maybe 125 degrees, all the way around, back around to about, back up to the repeater. Is that about right?
No. Remember, when you come over to my house, you go up to it, you turn off, and you turn into the neighborhood. Then you go up a steep hill on Silver Knoll, and then you go down a hill for a long, long, long way. Down, that is on the side of a mountain, right? You're going downhill. That's all that dirt, all that you're coming downhill is dirt that I can't get through to the east or south. And in the north, I'd have to put it in my front yard, and the homeowners association would jump all over that.
It was temporary on a table for about 2 hours?
Well, I'm not going to give them any valid reason to come knocking on my door whatsoever.
I'm so glad I live out there where I do. Yes, and I did forget about the downslope going into your place. You're right. And there is no way that you can get any real elevation, is there? Is there any way that you could possibly put like a TV antenna rotor on your roof on the backside?
No, it can't. They have to be able to stand in the center of the road and look over the top of the house and not see anything. Which on my 2 meter, that 17 foot collinear, you can see about the last 3 feet of it when you're standing out in the center of the road and you're looking at the roof, the top of the roof of the house. So I'm in violation already. And my mystery antenna, you can clearly see it from the road, and nobody said a word yet. I think they're not looking, but knock on wood. I'm not going to, if I stuck a Yagi out there in the front yard, they'd be all over that.
It'd be a song by Three Dog Night. I don't know if you remember Three Dog Night, but there was a song they did called Out in the Country, out where the breathing air is clean. Well, I couldn't live with that kind of restriction. More power to you, brother. You got a whole lot more patience than I do. So, in the meantime, I will do absolutely the very best I can to get that antenna up tonight.
Okay. Well, I got to start looking at multirotor solutions now. That heavy lift hexacopter. I got to be able to pick up a 2 meter. I got to find me one of those ICOM 2 meter crossband guys and lifting it up with the tandem, 2 gigahertz and 900 megahertz. Then the 2 meters and 70 centimeters shouldn't bother a thing.
The 2 meter directional receiver on a quadcopter and getting it up on altitude, right?
On a hexacopter, not a quad, hex. Quad is 4, hex is 6.
Hey, all right. Hex being for extra weightlifting capability?
Yeah, for bigger batteries to last longer in the sky.
Well, if you cannot overcome the obstacles there, both physical and restrictive, then I guess that's about the only way you could go, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for what we're doing now, if I want to use HF, I can use HF, no problem. Because I'm bouncing off the ionosphere, so it doesn't really matter. I've got a mystery antenna that's pointed at, it's broadside to Australia and the northern part of Europe, and it works really, really good. So it's no problem with HF, just VHF. And, you know, normally I'm hitting a repeater to the northwest of me. Normally I'm not looking on VHF to the south or to the east.
familiar with that mystery antenna, but I'm thinking like with a wire. If you're pointed towards Australia, that's going to be about 322 degrees. At least it is at my place as far as bearing. And that puts Europe on the null for a wire. How does that mystery work?
So it's a dipole. Mystery antenna is a dipole, and it's got two sections of coax in the center of each leg of the dipole. That's about 17 feet long of coax. And the wire, the dipole wire goes down the center of the coax, and then it turns around and comes back up the outer shield. Hang on just a minute. I got to answer the phone. Be back in a second. W4DJW.
WA, I could not quite pull your call sign out. Try it one more time.
I'm going to answer my question. This is KN4CHY. I was going to try to catch Dave while he was in there and see if the audio is any better.
KN4CHY, okay. Yeah, this is Steve. Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo. And this, who am I talking to?
Keith over in Seneca.
Keith, okay. I must have gone past a little obstacle. I've got you now. There's a little bit of snow in the background, but hey, you're making the trip easy.
That, wait for Dave to get on here, see if he can give me a comparison of what it was before. But since he's taking a standby, I was just going to tell you, I know Three Dog Night. That was my first ever concert. Over.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Hey, man, I know what vintage you and I are now. Yeah, did you ever hear him do that song, Out in the Country?
Did, and that was like 69 or 70, somewhere around in that area, when I seen him, and still one of the best live shows I've ever seen, other than, you know, the likes of, like, Rush or something.
Now, I'll let you have a little more information on my vintage. I saw the last show that Leonard Skinner did in Greenville.
Again, talking about vintage, I had tickets to the next show that didn't happen in Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was something else. Everybody went home from the show all pumped up, loving it and everything, and the next thing we know was on the radio, because it happened about, you know, about 3 hours after the show, they went down, and, you know, we were still out having a good time, and heard over the radio that their plane crashed. We couldn't believe it, man. That was unreal.
I worked at a drive-in theater in Baton Rouge back then. Trying to think, seemed like I was about 16, 17 at the time, and the projectionist come in that afternoon. Normally we had a radio station going over the speakers at the drive-in, but we hadn't turned it on yet, and the projectionist come in and said, well, I guess you'd be going to the concert tonight. I was like, what are you talking about? And he told me about it, that they had crashed, like, it was probably less than 30 miles from his house.
Oh. Wow. Well, I thought they went down in Mississippi. Comment.
Did, just over the border in Mississippi, from Louisiana. He was a first responder, and being a plane crash, he headed over that way, too. Go ahead, Chad.
36, KO4NUE.
Sure that Chad's going to leave us hanging there with bated breath and anticipation as to the relevance of 1936.
About your vintage years, and you didn't throw one out there, so I figured I'd throw one out.
But I'm not quite as old as you are.
I got a retaliation. That's all I needed for today. y'all have at it. KO4NUE, standing by.
Now listen, just be very, very, very pleased and very, very proud that I didn't come back with about how much better looking I am.
Don't get me started. Don't go there.
We still love you, Chad. We know you can't help it. Dave, come bail me out. Please get back on the radio.
Chad, what was the 1936 reference?
Well, say that we were born in 1936. He was doing a little dig.
I gotcha, yeah. I was a little later than that.
But anyhow, man. Hey, did you ever come to, well, you lived down in that area at that time. Did you ever get up this way for some of the shows at the Greenville Memorial Auditorium?
My boss man was at that same show that you're talking about. He still had his ticket stub. And me being a teenager at the time, when they crashed, I went back and got my $7.50 per ticket back. So I needed my $15 more than I needed that ticket stub.
What ticket stub would be worth today?
Kicked myself in the rear end many times over that.
Now, I tell you what, they used to do at the Greenville Memorial Auditorium where I seen Lynyrd Skynyrd. They used to do this local country music station up here, WESC. Have you ever heard them?
Familiar with them.
Well, they used to do this thing called WESC Country Shindig, and they would have a number behind it. And every time they'd do another show, they'd add one on. And my mom and dad would take us down there, and I seen Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty together. I've seen Porter Wagner. Oh, my goodness. I mean, a bunch of them. I saw Mel Tillis. They were great.
Back when country music was there. I didn't see any of those. I guess probably about the best ones I've seen was Merle Haggard. I had some friends that run a pretty well-known band in Baton Rouge, and they run a show, but they had Johnny Paycheck, and I'm trying to think who else was at that show. But, as far as old country stars, probably Merle Haggard's about my best one, I think.
KN4BWA. So you love the old Okie from Mastopia, huh?
Buddy, like Merle a lot. My father was a huge Hank Williams fan and a huge Merle Haggard fan. So I guess we could not like him over.
Well, listen, I've got to bail out of here a second. I've come over to Spartanburg to pick up my new glasses. And, I'll be back out here in a few minutes, so, KN4BWA, back in a few. I'm clear.
Chief, yep, have a good one. I gotta get back to work here in a few minutes. See if Dave's back over there, W4DJW, KN4CHY. You back in?
Hey, Keith, I'm back now. When you get ready to make that mod, let me know, and I'll listen over here to tell you whether you need to continue in the same direction or go a little less or a little further.
Any difference now? I took it up to what the fellow said in the video.
Well, I don't hear any crackling popping anymore. I just hear you. So, yeah, it came up.
You know, I just did the VHF side for now. I'll do the UHF this evening. Anyway, I got to get back to work. Appreciate the report. We'll talk at you later. W4DJW, KN4CHY. I'll be clear and kind of halfway listening.
Well, that sounded like it was too easy. Anyway, it's a whole lot easier to listen to you now. I don't have to turn my head and listen to the speaker. Very good. KN4CHY, W4DJW, clear and listening.
KN4NUE. Dave, you still in there?
I'm still here. Are you calling me? W4DJW?
KW, I had a brain lapse there for a second. Listen, do you need a carrier or something?
No. I was trying to get one off of Steve and Rusty while I was talking to them, and it was just too much dirt. I bet I dropped down 300 feet when I just come down my street, 300 to 400 feet, and that's all dirt, and that's a wall that is southeast of me.
Yeah, you do remember we were able to do simplex not too long ago. I could hear you anyway.
Well, that was when my 17-foot collinear was working, and you are to the northeast of me. So northeast is kind of tapering off the side of the hill. The hill is in the southeast. So it kind of tapers as you get around to the northeast, and it's open in the northwest, but it starts shutting back off again to the southwest and south, especially southeast, but some on the southwest. So, yeah, with my 17-foot collinear, I can hear you, but it's kind of compromised at the moment, and I got to get on the top of a 30-foot ladder to get that thing down and put it. I got a replacement for it, but I'm just hesitant to get on that 30-foot ladder.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you know, I need to turn the beam or anything, but... Okay, all right, good deal. KO4NUE, 73, I'm clear.
All right, well, I'm going to continue to play around with it and see if I can find a place a place for it that it'll work. But because it's a good beam, 10 element, 2 meter. It's a good one, and it's lightweight. Anyway, talk to you later. KO4NUE, W4DJW.
Hey, Dave, being retarded as you are now, stay off the 30-foot ladder. I spent too many years doing that, and it's not safe for older folks in 0TR.
That's why I'm hesitant to get up there. But that antenna needs replacing. I got a brand new one. And it could be the coax got wet on the inside, too. The thing's been up there for 20 years.
Once you put it up there, and you're probably aware of this, best thing I found, and good afternoon, Chad, is get some of that liquid electrical tape from, I got to get out of the way, got an emergency vehicle coming, right down here at Peggy's Diner. And get that liquid electrical tape either from Lowe's or Home Depot. Not the liquid kind. There's one there in a yellow can. You don't want that. You want GMB, I think is what they carry over at Home Depot. Put that on there, Dave, and boy, that's good stuff.
I think Steve... up in South Dakota, he's the one that was on the end of the ladder back then. And I think he used that rubberized stretchy tape that you stretch it for a long way out, and then you wrap it, and you wrap it, and you wrap it, and it squeezes so tight, there couldn't be a drop of moisture get in there. But after 20 years, and that's on the inside of an aluminum tube, because the whole thing sinks down inside aluminum tube to keep the sun rays off of it. But after 20 years of freezing and cold and hot and freezing and cold and hot, and from 1 year we had, for 4 days, we had an ice storm, and everything outside was frozen for 4 days. So after years and years and years of that, I guess the stuff hardens and gets crackly, and eventually water makes its way in.
I'm going to get in there. If not, I was just going to say one more thing about that liquid electrical tape.
Why don't you go without saying hello, Tom, and say hello to Miss Bernice for me. I don't want to interrupt you, Dave. Just nice to hear you today. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
That's one.
Hi, Chad. Thanks.
KO4NUE, clear.
See you later, buddy. You can come over and help me put these posts in later today. Hi. Anyways... Chad, I apologize there. But, Dave, I've used that stuff for years, and it lasts years and years. And it's the best dang thing, and you can just take a pocket knife and sear it, and then grab a hold of an edge of it and pull it off like Scott's 33.
Okay, I'll look at that, but I don't intend on getting up there anytime soon. I've been looking around for the price of a bucket that you can ride around, because I got some carpenter bee holes that I have to clean, I have to fix up on the ends of the house too. So when I get that that bucket that you ride around on four wheels that stretch out really far, I think I'll probably do it when I rent that bucket for a weekend or a week.
Dave, that's an excellent idea. I've been thinking about that, and if you find the cheapest place, let me know. Now, I was told Falls. Now, I can't remember the name of it. As you're going down Highway 14, just as you cross I-85, on the right side, there's a place that has those buckets. There's a place before I-85, too, on the right side. They have JLG lifts, and I run those for 50 years. They're good. I've run Condors and different ones that go up to 60 feet all my life. But if you go just across that bridge there at the Spink Station at I-85 and 14, the first turnoff, I think it is, to the right, there's a place there, and all their stuff's got green and white on it. You know, you remember the name of it, Bernice? I was told that was the best place to get a deal on one of those. So if you would, let me know what you get one for. I need to go up about 30 feet along that area. I got a limb that's bugging me, and I could use it to trim off some smaller limbs, too.
All right, I'll do that. I'll see how much it costs today, and maybe we'll get a discount maybe if we split it for the number of days that we get. Because I got some limbs that hang out over Amy's car in the fall, and it just drives her crazy. She asked me to climb that tree, and the tree's on my neighbor's yard, but it's got like 30, 40 foot long branches that come out over her car. And that thing just sheds on her car for like a quarter of a year. So, yeah, I've got to get the chainsaw up in there and cut a bunch of those limbs off as high as I can, too. So, yeah, you might accelerate my looking into it, Tom.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. And I was also told if you get one, like go down there Friday night or Friday, they'll deliver it, and they won't pick it up till Monday morning. Now, I don't know, you know, and you just pay for that one day. And they come out and get it. But there are, the orange and white ones are JLGs, and they're fine. And, but I heard that place just across I-85 and 14 on the right side. And I'll try to get it, because we'll be down to the kids before long. Or you can look it up. I'd be glad to do that, Dave. And if you can finagle a deal like that where we'd get it on a Friday or something, and you could use it Saturday, and I could use it Sunday or something, and have them come pick it up at my place or your place, however you want to work it. Because I don't have very much I need to do with it. I just have one limb up there by my 160-meter Carolina Wyndham, and it's not a great big one, maybe 4 inches at the most, probably not that. I want it out of there, and I offered a guy $100 that was working trees down the street if he cut that one limb off. Oh, yeah, I'll be right down there. And then I offered another one that. Yeah, I'll be right over. And he was just up two houses. Never seen either one of them.
W4DJW, how high is that limb?
Something that go 30 feet, Dave. It's not real high, and I'll just take an electric saw, because I can't lift very much, Dave. Anything over 10 pounds gets heavy for me. But, see, I can go up there and just chop off a little piece at a time. It's right out there by the chicken pen out in the backyard. And I'd like to get rid of that, and then some of the limbs on the way up. I used to have tree climbers and that, but I got smart. I sold those to my buddy before I left Kansas, and I give all my climbing gear, my harness and ropes and all that to Bob in D7J when I come down here. That's the only way you can keep me down, because I always loved to climb, but I just can't do that anymore.
Well, that's good. That's good that you, there's no temptation left. I still have my harness and the hooks and the big heavy ropes and all that stuff. It's just, I hesitate. I'm thinking twice about it. I was thinking about throwing some ropes over and making a safety catch so that ladder can't, you know, pull the ladder up with the ropes and then tie the ropes off on the other side of the house so the ladder can't fall. And then with my safety harness, use my hook to go all the way to the top. And then I could work on it safely. And if it turns out that guy wants, you know, several thousand dollars to have it for a day or two, I'll probably just go ahead and do the ladder and the safety hooks and the ropes.
NDRLTR Mobile. Well, I thought Bob said about the cheapest they could find one time here a while back up at Hendersonville. He was going to split up with somebody, and at any rate, I thought he said it was like between $400 and $500 or something like that. I wouldn't mind, you know, paying $250 or something like that, but I ain't going to get $500 just for that one limb, I don't think.
I heard Ken saying he could get one for like $2K for a weekend or something, or for a week or something like that. I don't know. I heard him talking to the guys in the morning group. He's got a big tree that he needs dropped, and they want to charge him like a little less than $3K to drop the tree. And he said he could get one of those things for $2K and take it down limb by limb. So, but still, $2K sounds very, very high to me. gotta be better than that. Or it's worth throwing ropes all over the top of the house to hold the ladder up and to hold me up.
And Bernice and I had one big tree, and it worried me because if it went one way, it could come down and catch the back of the house. If it went the other way, which was most likely, it would have taken out my neighbor's chain link fence, which he didn't care. He just put it back up himself. But he'd go over towards their swimming pool, and I just couldn't live with that. And I just got to tell you, that was $2K, wasn't it, Bernice? Yeah, for that one tree. And you'd have a heart attack if you watched those guys. They climbed with ropes and that. It was totally amazing. But you weren't going to do it for any less than $2,000.
Well, I had a lightning strike, a pine tree that was really tall and really big around. It was about 3 feet at the base of it. And I guess it was about 60 to 70 feet tall. And I had some tree fellers come out here and take that thing down. Tom, that guy put his gear on with the little hook that's on the inside of his foot. And that guy could walk up that tree as fast as I could walk across the yard. He just walked up that tree with a little chainsaw and buzzed off all the limbs. He just walked right up it like it was going horizontal, but he was going vertical. They had that tree out of there in probably less than an hour and a half. And if I'd have done it, that tree would have been out there all weekend long.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, he took a beanbag like you got for your slingshot and threw that up in there first, didn't he, and then climbed that thing. But Amy had, that tree of ours was probably, 3-4 foot in diameter. Here comes another emergency vehicle. We're at the Spink station here before you get to Walmart on the right side. I can't tell you what street is, but she had one taken out, well, several taken out down at their lake house on Lake Lyman, and that one had drove right up next to the deck, and it was probably 3 or 4 foot in diameter and 100 foot tall, and they never scratched the board on that deck behind the place there, and I can get the name of those folks if you ever need them, but... What is it? Yeah, that's who cut ours, Bernice said. But they earned their money, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they do, you're right. I had a whole bunch of, I took like 25 down myself, and then I had a bunch more taken out, and a bunch of holly trees taken out, and a whole island worth of trees taken out. And these guys brought a tree shredder, and they parked it out in the cul-de-sac. They charged me $7K for all the work that they did, and it was worth it. But when they put one of the holly trees, the whole tree in that tree shredder, it was sitting out in the cul-de-sac, and you could feel it inside the house. It was shaking the house when it was shredding the tree in the cul-de-sac. Those guys knew what they were doing, though. They knocked that $7K worth of work out. They knocked it out in a half a day.
Anyway, you cut it. Yeah, I had one guy back when times were bad there, when we first moved down here probably 10, 12 years ago, and he took 13 trees down out in the backyard there for $600. I thought I got a good deal.
Those were the good old days. Those days are gone. You won't find anybody that does that kind of work for that kind of money anymore.
I think we picked those up, didn't we, Bernice? Yeah. And... you know, I told him just drop them. We'd take care of it. But I was in better shape then, too. It hurts me to lift up the chicken feeder now. It makes me ashamed. But sometime here in the near future, they're going to do an ablation. I don't think they're going to do the nerve block. They're going to inject some stuff in my lower back, and then if it works, they're going to burn the nerves there permanently. And they say it lasts about a year, so I'm looking forward to that. Except I asked him if he'd give me a little Versed and some Demerol when he does that to knock me out. And he says, no, you'll be awake. That doesn't sound good at all. And he said, oh, it's uncomfortable, but it's not bad. And I said, is it okay if I slap you around a little bit when you get done, if it hurts? And he says, no, but you're welcome to one of my attendants.
Is this the same guy you referred me to? By the way, I've got my appointment comes up with him in 20 days.
No. This is a neurosurgeon at the Pain Management Center. Different deal altogether, and different place, Dave. No, you'll love Dr. Gaucher. And it's spelled like Delcher. And I don't know, one of the nurses or somebody said, no, you don't want to be called that. And he likes Dr. Gaucher. And I promise you, he's at the top of his game and very experienced. Now, this guy down here that I went to was Dr. Atkinson, and man, he's young and at the top of his game. And the last one I went to at Pain Management, I went in there 5 minutes. He said, no, can't give you an epidural. I'm going to go get gas over there, Bernice. He said, you'll be back in 2 weeks for one another one. He says, they're $2,000 a pop. I said, well, I got good insurance. He says, no, you have to have an anesthesiologist. I said, well, you know, what else can we do? He said, nothing. Goodbye. And that was it. This guy took time with me. And I hope it makes it work and lift a little bit anyways. Dave, we've arrived at Aldi's. And I got to run across over here to Walmart. The Sam's Club, if you use their card, gives you 10% off in the month of April for all your gas. So Walmart's always cheaper anyways. So I'm going to take advantage of it. Talk to you later, Dave. Good to hear you. W4DJW and 0TR, clear.
All right, Tom. Take care. And hello to Bernice. Have a good rest of the day, W4DJW. Clear and listening.
WK4VWA.
Hey, you get your glasses?
I got my regular glasses, but they've delayed on the sunglasses. You know the nice glasses I got? The nice sunglasses I got for you?
The DeWalt?
Roger. I got a pair of those supposedly coming in my prescription. And they are wraparound, so I am waiting. They say they'll be in by about Friday, but at least I got my other reading glasses. So, or rather, my regular prescription glasses. Now, listen, I don't know if you want to fool with it or not. I'm jumping back in at the tail end, but I'm going to be coming back down south on 85, and I will get off at Pelham Road and come back up to Batesville Road on that more southerly swing. Would you like to try that thing out?
KB2HXS Mobile.
W4DJW is still running. I need to go out there and take it off of east and point it south. I mean, if you're going to be there anyway, I mean, I'm believing it's running. The RTL-SDR dongle is running on, so it can run. I mean, it's hooked up to the computer, so it's just running constantly, and it sees everything. If I put it on 610, it sees everything. If I put it on 010, then it only sees the stations I can see, and recognizing David. But if you want to do that, I mean, I'm going to watch it anyway.
Better call. I just thought maybe if I was swinging back around that direction, it might be a opportunity. So, just whatever you want to do. Dave, jump in there. That's KO4HSX. Get in there, Bubba.
No chance to come in because this is KB2HXS. One of these days, you're going to get the right message.
Get your stuff changed around so that you're in the right region. I'll tell you what. What do you want, Dave?
Oh, I just came in to break your chops. My goodness. Now I'm just heading back to the house. I got done with my service call down here. Them dirty old condensers I just cleaned up. My God, I think I need a shower now. But, my gosh, I was going to ask you something and I just lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Dave. Pick it up, please. KB2HXS.
KB2HXS. Got to commit that to memory, Steve. Kilo Bravo 2HXS. You got that, Steve? I'm rubbing it in. Anyway, I'm back and forth across the room. I'm hunting for a viable candidate power cable to test out these 10 buck converters I got for a dollar a piece. So I'm going to be scratching around over there on the other side of the room looking for a viable candidate to cannibalize to get power on the end of this. You guys carry on. I'll be listening. W4DJW.
KB2HSX. Dave, now we know where to go to get the parts to build a nuclear weapon, because I guarantee you Dave's got one.
What I got is my mouth. Anyway, Steve, no, I'm just heading home. Yeah, tomorrow's good. We are good to go. And actually, I was just wondering if Patrick was around KL4HKX, if he's around somewhere. Go ahead, Steve.
Now you know why I mistakenly foul up your call sign and his on occasion. So, the two of those are very, very close in sound. Not number, but sound. So, anyhow, in the meantime, yeah, we'll meet over at about 9 o'clock, and we'll see if we can't get some stuff done. So, were you working with Jimmy today?
Nothing, no. It's one of Jimmy's customers, because Mr. James is out of town now. So I'm picking up the slack for him.
Okay. Well, so where is he down at the beach again?
I'm not sure if he has left yet, or I think he's going out to the beach again, yeah. No, he's taking his RV trailer down.
Hope he doesn't lose any more digits or appendages. he hasn't got that many more to lose.
But I continually remind him of that fact also. I mean, we call him Jimmy Fingers.
I'm going to have to remember that. Oh, me. Well, so, now there was something else I was going to ask you and I can't think of it. Oh, well. If I lean my head over to the left, my brain may drain out these days. I got so much going on.
I wanted to ask you, if you could put that house bracket in your truck tomorrow, I'd like to take a look at it, if that's okay, if you can get to it easy enough.
Yeah, no problem. Now, do you want the tilt-over mechanism, too?
I don't require a tilt-over. I can climb the tower, no problem. I'm going to form out for the concrete, because I got the fella going to come and pour that slab for me, so I'm going to have a little area. If he has a little extra concrete, I'm going to just make my footing right away.
Cool, boss. That's good. Well, now, have you put the tower within the tower and gotten the crank-up portion straightened out?
No, I got it all off the tower. I got everything broken off, and I'm getting ready to put a new crank-up on it. I'm not going to go real high with it. I may go about halfway up. I'm not going to go the full 50 foot because I'm only going to bolt it to the house. My concern right now is how deep should I go with that footing?
Power has to be guide. That is not a self-supporting. And since it has to be guide, you don't have to go deep with that footing at all. I wouldn't go anything more than about a foot or foot and a half. And, because, you know, really all you're doing is just trying to make sure that the foot doesn't pull out or slide out or skip out from underneath the tower, because you're either going to guy it or tie it to the house.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to tie it at about the halfway point. So I'm not going to crank it up at maybe 10 feet or maybe, what I may do, it'll be 25 foot to the top of the first section and then I might just crank it up about 10 or 20 feet, and that's about all I'm going to need, really. I'm only going to put the vertical on there. And then, you know, later on I'll put a sidearm off of it and put my dipole up eventually. But, yeah, that tower, once it's bolted to the house at the top of the first section, really don't need to guy it, because I'm not going to put a real big wind load on it.
We know now that vertical, now I can't call the name of it. It's a 250C, 250CH, no, it's a CHA 250P, that's what it is, and it was made by, not Cushcraft, who made that, I forgot.
It's down in the basement. I cleaned it all up and it's ready to go. But I don't think that's going to go on the tower. I may put that on the peak of the house where my vertical is right now. So I gotta look at that and see what the guy specifications are. You know, the guy wire that. You know, I can guy it down to the house or something. But yeah, I'm going to take care of that at a later date. Right now, I want to get the tower up and get the vertical on it and get some more height. Height is right.
Yep, yep, yep. Now, that vertical that you got for me absolutely has to be guide. And as a matter of fact, it's got a little triangular clamp up there at the top. So you'll see it when you get it up there. If you want some help, I'd be glad to come and help you put it up.
Oh, yeah, when it comes to that point, yeah, right now... Russell's going to come and going to grade the yard and get everything leveled out at the end of this week. And then right before he gets ready to pour, then I'll make a little form down by my garage down there and get that ready to go so I can take a little from my, if he has a little leftover, I can make it. Or I just do it my darn self, you know, get a couple of bags of Quikrete or something and just pour it myself.
The biggest, depending on your width and depth, I think it's going to be a little more than a couple of bags of concrete, bud. But now listen, you do know that if you want to borrow one, I've got a cement mixer.
Oh, I realize that. I think I can do it with... When we pour the slab, I'm sure he'll have a little extra. Now, how big dimensionally should I make that to add to that tower?
I would go, since it's just a foot base, I'd go at least a foot in any direction from the front, the back, and the side.
Like 24-inch by 24-inch and then about a foot deep.
Please, now that's on a grade there, isn't it?
Hey, that's flat. That's going to be down by my garage door.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to put it on the side of the house where you were planning originally.
No, no, no. I got outvoted on that one.
The smoke, huh?
Absolutely. I give her all the credit she deserves.
Tell you what, that's probably going to be better for you. But are you going to put a 2 meter or 440 up there on top of it?
Oh yeah, the new antenna that I bought, that the X200NA or X200A that I bought, is going up on top of that tower. Absolutely, it's going to have a whole lot more height than what it is now.
Okay, so how are you going to rig your 2 meter 440 along with that vertical?
Now, the vertical is going to go on the peak of the house. I'm basically going to make an antenna swap. The vertical, the low band vertical, I'll put on the peak of the house, and then the VHF, UHF will go up on the tower.
Okay, well, then you'd better reinforce that peak up there, because now those are probably just fascia on that outer board where you'd mount. Probably want to consider putting up something pretty solid as far as reinforcement, because that it's not wind load, because you got a guide, but it is vertical weight. That thing will probably weigh 20 20 pounds, I think.
Well, don't forget, I have three brackets on the house. I've got a bracket on the edge of the soffit there, and I got two brackets bolted through the house. They're actually bolted through the brick, so they're pretty strong on the house. And the bottom bracket has a third leg kind of down on an angle for weight and whatnot. So it's pretty strong. I can hang on that thing and not pull it off the house.
Okay. All right. And so what are you going to do? Just, you got to get some kind of offset to get it out from under the edge of the shingles. Well, you got your bracket, and it's on the soffit, but you got to get that out from under the edge of the shingles if it's on the soffit, and then you got to have something to mount the vertical to. And I had that thing mounted on a mast, a little piece of mast pipe.
Okay, I need to take a picture of it, send it to you. Everything is off the house. Yeah, I've got a pole mounted to the three brackets now, then I have another pole mounted to that pole that has my vertical on it. So it is actually built quite strongly.
W4DJW.
Well, like I said, if you need any help, I can get up to 10 feet off the ground.
I appreciate it. I should be okay, Steve. The only thing I want to find out is how far off the peak, vertically above the peak of the roof should that big antenna be mounted, for this way I get good SWR. And I think there's another station in there. I think somebody doubled with it.
KB2HX, that's mobile. There's somebody else in there, Steve. I think we'll pregnant pause there for a minute.
That was me, W4DJW. David, I want to know what your location is because I can see you on reverse.
I'm sorry, I can't tell you that, sir. I'm right now, I just turned on the Princess Circle right off of CCC camp. So I'm, I guess, west of US 29, just off 14.
Okay, that's good to know. So, Steve, I'm pointed east and I can see him. I can't see you.
Roger. And I should be coming into your view shortly. Now, I am about to pass the entrance to the jetport. I'm coming south on 85, and I'm about to come up on the entrance to the jetport and the exit for 14. Now, I'll be on, let's see. I can go on further south if you'd like. I can get off on the Pelham Road exit and then come back up to Batesville Road that way. You want me to do that? See if you can get me?
Well, I can see David where he is. He's at 14. Where did you say you were? 14 in Pelham, David? Is that what you said?
No. I'm west of Wade Hampton on 14. I'm like, if you're going towards Landrum. I'm in my driveway right now. I can go into the house and turn the bass on, and you can hear me from there. But no, if you're going west on 14 towards Landrum through downtown Gurr, you cross over 29, and then you go to like the third traffic light. I'm off just on the right there. That's about where I'm at.
So is your address good on QRZ? If I plug it into Google Earth and draw a vector from my house to yours?
Should be. It shouldn't show Vero Beach anymore, but. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go inside and I'll turn the bass radio on. You can hear me from there. You'll probably be banging your needle. Be bending that SWR needle a little bit.
Well, it's a waterfall. It's not a needle. 2438, is that the house number?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then that's east, and that's where my antenna is pointed. It's pointed east, and that's right through a mountain of dirt. That it's picking you up. That's pretty cool. I don't know why it didn't pick up Steve when he was over there at 85 going through the same mountain of dirt. Maybe Steve has a weak signal. I don't know. It's W4DJW.
The comment you made was you're seeing me and you're not seeing Steve. Well, I'm the better looking anyway, so.
I think Steve would probably beg to differ. But anyway, let me put this vector in here. And Steve, just go your normal route, whatever you plan to do. If you show up, I saw a hint of you. I saw a ghost of you trickling on the waterfall. You know, there's like 3-4 dots and then nothing and then a dash and then a longer dash and then a dot or two. So it looks like you're starting to come into focus, W4DJW.
Steve, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to step out. I'm going to go into the house. And, Dave, I'll pick it up with you in the house.
Okay, I'll have a vector between our houses by then. Steve must have got a telephone call. W4DJW, standing by.